Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
High noon in the District of Columbia, and excited to get on the Rude Guest Hotline, join our friend, Mr. Ian Harditz from Fantasy Life. You can give Ian a follow at iHarditz, H-A-R-T-I-T-Z. Ian, what's up, dude? How are you?
It's a great day to be great, man. Appreciate you guys having me on.
I love that. Let's start with tonight, dude. The Niners are just a shell. I mean, everybody's hurt. I remember I made a bet with a Niners fan friend I know this offseason where he's like, oh, we're back, baby. We're back. I was like, you got too many guys that are hurt all the time, dude. What do you make of the Niners?
I just think we got to at some point start pointing a finger at Christian McCaffrey. I mean, this is the one dude who could never stay healthy, and now seemingly all his teammates are the ones falling down. So, you know, all jokes aside, I do think that it's unfortunately, I mean, your friend had a good point, like at full strength, especially with the schedule they've had. I mean, this does look like a team that, you know, outside of the Eagles in a fairly wide open NFC, you could see them getting back to the championship. But, man, I mean, I heard the update just again, Purdy, Jennings, Pearsall, obviously already leaving that offense hanging. And, you know, it's been long enough that we already forget that George Kittle was put on IR after playing only about 20 snaps in week one. Throwing Nick Bosa, obviously having the ACL injury, and it just has been so, so rough. So, again, I won't completely write them off yet. Mac Jones is pretty good in relief duty. And, hey, if you guys are old enough to remember like me, I mean, that kind of COVID game a couple years ago where the entire wide receiver room was out, we wound up getting a legacy game out of Richie James. So maybe DeMarcus Robinson, Kendrick Bourne, some of these guys can keep it up. But it almost is, I don't want to say it's good they're playing on Thursday night because obviously it's impacting them there, but getting those extra few days of rest ahead of week six will hopefully do them some good.
Yeah, we'll see. I imagine anybody you got on the Rams tonight from a fantasy perspective is full send, even though Thursday night games can be kind of ugly.
Oh, 100%. I mean, right now, if we were really just ready to redraft the entire fantasy season starting now, Puka Nacua would be the consensus 101. This dude is on pace for north of 2,100 receiving yards, which is now pretty great because if you look at the all-time single-season leaderboard, God forbid, you know, Puka works his way up there and clears 2K or just gets close. It's going to be Calvin Johnson, Cooper Kupp, and then Puka Nacua, a.k.a. the three guys who Matthew Stafford has managed to get to just such great heights. So all-time wide receiver whisperer stuff going on there for Stafford. But, yeah, even beyond Puka, I mean, Davante Adams is getting force-fed the ball in the red zone. Kyren Williams continues to do his thing. So, and that is, like, the good thing. I mean, we have offenses like the Bills, who are obviously awesome in real life, but they have that everybody-eats mantra, which, again, great for Bills Mafia, great for Josh Allen and everything they're trying to do. But in fantasy, you want things as condensed as possible, and no passing game is flowing through its top two guys as much as the Rams are with Puka and Davante.
Has some of these injuries to some of these star players – really, really affected some of the fantasy football teams?
Oh, 100%, man. I think a big kind of thing, too, is just the offensive line that unfortunately dealing with multiple injuries. You know, the Packers have had two starters down. Cowboys are another one of those groups. And, yeah, you know, it didn't exactly stop them from having a nice little fun shootout on Sunday night in the Micah Parsons Bowl. But, you know, I heard actually John Gruden kind of ranting the other day about just different things with their, you know, collective bargaining agreement really makes it tough for them to have, you know, fully padded practices and get the offensive lines in particular to a point that they can be playing great football. So, you know, again, you combine kind of that stuff going on with the existing injuries, really has been rough. But the two big ones that happened yesterday, actually, Trey Benson, the Cardinals, their starting running back hit IR, and then Bucky Irving for the Buccaneers, seen in a walking boot and then also on crutches. So if you guys are in leagues where, you know, maybe not the most competitive waiver wire out there, Rashad White probably already picked up, but he's looking at a nice role. And then the more low-key option is going to be Michael Carter, seemingly set up to be the Cardinals' RB1 after being a healthy scratch, basically, to start the season. So I think it's similar to what kind of Chris Rodriguez was doing with you guys, where, again, there doesn't have enough special teams value to exactly be active more game days than not. But one injury away from getting a pretty big role, and I think that's what we're looking at here with Michael Carter.
Well, John Gruden and I kind of think alike when it comes down to this not being able to practice, and it's not just affecting offensive linemen.
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, look, I know the players are out there trying to, you know, be safe and not have to do too much either. But, again, it was just a funny little rant going on. Certainly different, I'm sure, than what guys were doing back in his day.
Yeah. Talking with our friend Ian Harditz from Fantasy Life, covers the entire NFL from a fantasy perspective. Really, really sharp. What has been kind of the biggest fantasy surprise for you thus far this season? Both maybe a positive surprise and a bad one.
Yeah, I think just kind of going back to the injuries, it's the fact that it's more so been the wide receivers who have been getting banged up versus running backs, really for the second straight year in a row. So, you know, one of these big kind of just all-encompassing fantasy strategies you refer to is zero RB, where you kind of play into that idea that running backs are going to drop more like flies. But anyone that, again, was waiting too long to get their first RB really has been missing out on some pretty great performances. So I will say some of these, you know, more boring veteran types have just been thriving as well. Travis Etienne for the Jaguars right now leading the NFL in yards per carry. Javonte Williams was assumed to be kind of washed up after kind of flaming out in Denver over these past few years. Suddenly he's an RB1 for a Cowboys offense that is force feeding him the football. So really I would say, you know, that kind of rookie fever that everyone gets kind of, you know, from talking about the same guys for so many months of the offseason, we just haven't exactly seen some of that hype translate yet. So not all bad performances. I do think Tedrone McMillan for the Panthers here is really due for a blow up, but man, seeing just Travis Hunter fail so badly to get pretty much anything going. And then a lot of these rookie running backs as well, at least before last week when some guys like Gentian Hampton got going, really has been a slow start for some of these bigger name rookies.
What do you make of Derrick Henry through four games? And kind of what do you do with that Ravens offense if Lamar starts missing some time?
Yeah, I was actually just writing about Henry. So it hasn't been pretty in terms of a total counting numbers perspective, but this dude's still going out there and averaging 5.8 yards per carry, which is the second highest mark of his career. The problem has been this Ravens defense has been a mix of bad and just really, really injured out there. So accordingly, they've been in these trailing game scripts, which they're not really used to. And then, Derrick Henry hasn't had more than 12 carries in a game since week one. So again, he's had the fumbles, which are really annoying, but he only had three combined from 2023 to 2024. So I think it's just more of a, you know, bad small sample size issue with that. Really haven't seen anything from King Henry that indicates the age cliff is getting there or he's any less of a beast. So I'm just hoping that they are willing to kind of go down with the ship, because as someone who unfortunately is a very, very sad Cowboys fan, I mean, I've seen Cooper Rush and what he can do over the years, and I just cannot imagine this team, you know, going in still only giving Henry 12 to 15 carries when now your option is Cooper Rush with the football, not even Lamar Jackson. So, you know, we'll see what happens there. Justice Hill, to his credit, has been a real nice pass down back to them, and because of that, Henry doesn't maybe get the usual high snap counts of some of these other guys. But end of the day, it's only been 4 weeks. I think we're, you know, very, very much overdue here for one of those patented big dollar explosion games.
Bijan hadn't played well up to the Washington game. Well, he didn't have any big games. He had a big game against Washington. How can you see him going the rest of the year?
Man, Bijan, the great thing that with him this year is just how much they've been actually throwing him the football. Obviously, you know, just the way he runs, man, it really is different. It's almost like he's skiing out there in and out of holes. So really great stuff, obviously, on the ground. But right now he is on pace to clear 1,000 yards as both a rusher and receiver. That would only be the fourth instance of that happening in a single season in NFL history. We've seen Christian McCaffrey do it, Marshall Faulk, and even Roger Craig back in the day. So it would be pretty cool if, again, we see Bijan just manage to go ahead and get up on that leaderboard. But Falcons offense as a whole has been a little bit inconsistent. So they fired their wide receiver coach last week, and all of a sudden Penix and Drake London were getting going again. So I'm optimistic, at least in Bijan in that offense, because again, when you have as much volume as he does, and you're such just a great real life talent, it's hard to fall too far in fantasy land. But yeah, the whole Michael Penix experience, you know, continues to be up and down.
All right. We're talking with our friend Ian Harditz from Fantasy Life. You can give him a follow at iHarditz. We're going to make this about me now. I have three fantasy teams.
Oh, Lord.
I have three fantasy teams somewhere between suck and okay. In one league, I have C.J. Stroud as my quarterback. I could pick up Daniel Jones. I don't know. Is it worth picking up Danny Dimes?
Yeah, man. I think it is at this point. Because the thing is, too, in fantasy, like, it's – I know people are like, oh, it's just fantasy football. Like, it's not the same as real life. And for the most part, like, I totally get that. But at the same time, fantasy points, like, they're just receptions, yards, and touchdowns. It's kind of the same counting stats that we use to quantify real life success as well. The two exceptions, though, are rushing quarterbacks, guys like Justin Fields and honestly Daniel Jones, and then some of these running backs who can just catch a ton of passes. These players that, again, are kind of getting multiple means of production really do end up standing out in fantasy, even if they aren't quite that good in real life. And that's honestly what we've seen with Daniel Jones. He's been really efficient as a passer. I do think we got to give some credit to Tyler Warren, Michael Pittman, Josh Downs, and then Shane Steichen, who really has done a great job with all of his quarterbacks not named Anthony Richardson over the years. But, hey, just like we even saw from Daniel Jones, you know, back in that 2022 season, when Saquon Barkley actually nicknamed him Vanilla Vic in the first place, like, this dude is good out there. And they actually have been willing to use him around the goal line. He's already got three touchdowns, I believe, from the one-yard line. And now this week, looking at the matchup against the Raiders, yes, Max Crosby is incredible. But because of that, I mean, teams really haven't been as willing to run the ball against the Raiders. They almost kind of funnel production through the air, where the secondary isn't quite as, you know, dangerous to worry about. So Daniel Jones, again, it's wild, but we're so far so good, man. We're kind of seeing him become that next Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold type, where, you know, these quarterbacks are finding a new and improved franchise and accordingly putting a lot of good stuff together. So Stroud set up well against that banged up Ravens D, but for me, I'm going with Danny Dimes.
Okay. It's a waiver claim, so I put it in and we'll see what happens. If not, it's going to be the Stroud show, which has been tough to watch. So I picked up the Woody Marks kid. Seems like a lot of excitement. How much do you trust Woody Marks, who's a rookie at a USC, to really take over that Texans running back one role?
I mean, so far, so good, man. He started off in week one actually, like, working as the third guy in that backfield. They had Dario Gumbawale doing pass downs. But fourth quarter fumble from Dari, really haven't seen much of him since. But overall, man, his snaps have gone from 12% to 28% to 49%. And last week, season high 58% mark. And I do think the important thing that we've been able to see here is that the Texans view him as a legit three-down bell cow sort of a running back, because that was the concern coming out of USC. How much is he actually going to be trusted on early downs or in short yardage situations versus just being more of a one-dimensional pass-down guy? And there was a snap, you know, last week where it was fourth and two, and they were just wanting to give the ball to Woody right up the middle, and he got the first down for him. So Nick Chubb, obviously a great story. He's had a couple okay moments this year, but it does seem like Marks gives them, you know, just that added juice as a rusher, and then also he can do far more in the receiving game. So got that update from DeMeco Ryans and then Aaron Wilson, you know, Texans beat reporter, that Joe Mixon really, really looking more and more doubtful for the entire season at this point. So I would like to see one more week of confirmation of Woody just purely being the lead dog in Houston, but certainly think he is someone you can start in your flex with a good bit of confidence. And hey man, this time next week, he legit could be in the top 20 if we continue to see that roll on the up and up.
Well, B, here's an example of why my team sucks. Ian says I should start him as a flex. I have him as my RB1. now, I do have Josh
Jacobs.
Josh Jacobs is on a bye. I got absolutely whored by Jaylen Warren last week because they were the early game and he was a late scratch. I was on the damn airplane when I found out Warren wasn't playing. I couldn't sub him out. I lost by like 4 points. If I had a different back end, I would have won. Just that's fantasy life, right?
Yeah,
and his backup Kenneth Gainwell went absolutely bonkers, which made it that
worse. I'm sure. Insult to injury. My other running back on this team, I'm starting Bill Ja'Cory Kroski Merritt.
Nice.
I have Bill in. I had Trey Benson, who's now hurt, so I picked up both DeMarcado and Michael Carter. I'm not sure I need to carry three Cardinals running backs, but do you trust Bill over those two dudes, DeMarcado and Carter? How much do you trust Bill, kind of in general?
I trust Bill, the player. I mean, I mentioned before Travis Etienne, I think, you know, he is leading the NFL right now in yards per carry. But in second place is Bill, and he has been great. But, you know, the problem for Bill in fantasy is just that when they give the ball to McNichols and Chris Rodriguez, they're being pretty great too. I mean, Washington this season, in terms of just on their designed RB rushes, they are at the top of the league in terms of the EPA they're getting on those plays. So it's one of these things where, you know, with Washington and New England's the other situation where all of us fantasy nerds, you know, we all want them to feature Trevion Henderson more because we drafted them way too high a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, just kind of, you know, look away through not looking through my fantasy, you know, rose-colored glasses. Like, how can I really complain about what Washington and New England are doing when these other running backs are also making the most out of their opportunities? So, you know, Bill, been great, but the problem is, you know, 8 to 10 touches probably per game. It's just not quite enough for me to really be giving him the benefit of the doubt in some of these closer start-sit decisions. So, sounds like what you're dealing with. Don't have, you know, much of a better choice, so we'll go ahead and just roll with Bill anyway. But, you know, I don't know that you need Amari DiMercato. We'll see what happens there. Michael Carter, actually, in an interview yesterday, was saying how it was funny how he was, like, you know, their scout team player of the week last week, and now all of a sudden he's starting. So, actually kind of got confirmation from Carter about that just there. But, yeah, man, Bill, great player. Obviously, you know, training camp Hall of Famer as we kept getting those reports going on. We'll see if they end up featuring him more as the year goes on.
I saw that Michael Carter interview on social, and it reminded me – this is a deep cut, but I remember when John Beck declared himself the starting quarterback for the Redskins.
And he had that shirt with his name on it.
And it was during the lockout, so the coaching staff couldn't really say anything, and then there was all this excitement about John Beck, and then when he got on the field, he certainly wasn't starting caliber.
He couldn't start in high school.
I don't know. Sometimes I fear when players are like, yo, I'm the guy. Maybe he is the guy, though. I have another league – go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, it kind of reminded me a little bit of last year when Christian McCaffrey was this late scratch in week one. Then he ended up going on IR, and they were interviewing Jordan Mason after the game. And he just had an awesome kind of starting debut, like 150 yards. And you could tell he was just so happy. And then they asked him, like, when he knew he was going to be the starting running back. And he said the Friday before, which nobody knew was actually the case, you know, outside of San Francisco. So just this unfortunate moment where, again, you know, teams are trying to keep their cards close to their chest, so I get it. But I do appreciate guys like Michael Carter making it a little bit easier on us.
He tried to backtrack that one, though. Mason did.
I have another league where my team kind of sucks. My receivers suck.
In other words, JP, you just can't pick teams.
B, I'm a running back addict, and I just load up on running backs.
It's all good.
And then my other positions suck. So my two receivers are Devontae Smith and Jameson Williams. I have Keon Coleman. Matthew Golden's on a bye. Like, I have to start those dudes, right? Devontae and Jameson?
Yeah, you got it right. I mean, Keon, honestly, someone that I drafted a lot, hoping that he just would emerge as Buffalo's number one receiver. He does actually lead the way in terms of targets this year. But the problem is, like we were talking about, is that everybody eats mantra for an offense that when they can, they're very content to basically only have Josh Allen throw the ball 25 or so times per game. So then you're just asking Keon to hopefully make the most out of four or five targets. And again, just tough to make too big of a living in fantasy when that's all the volume they're getting. So not too dissimilar from Devonta Smith and honestly even J-Mo in some of these games. But I will say with Jameson Williams, they were really trying to get him going last week against the Browns. He actually had like a season high 9 targets. And when you look at the nature of those targets, a ton of them were of the fantasy-friendly downfield variety. So now they're going up again this week. Total smash spot against the Bengals defense that looks like a combination of bad slash, you know, quitting on the season at this point. So just, again, Lions implied for the most points. I do think Jameson Williams could have a nice boom here.
Okay. I could use that, J-Mo. We could really use that. And then are there any receivers, tight ends, anybody out there you would target trades that maybe are a little undervalued that you think will kind of turn this thing around?
Yeah, so just in terms of, you know, your league's obviously going to be dealing these guys differently, but as gross as it was, and it was also in a primetime game last week, so I think maybe I could use that to your advantage, but Marvin Harrison Jr. is someone who really has been meeting expectations. You know, as Bill is this generational guy, obviously has, you know, the last name everyone loves and all that, but looking ahead, we actually now have enough, I think, data on the season to feel a little bit better about the strength of schedule stuff. And no wide receiver is set up better in weeks 5 through 9 than Marvin Harrison Jr. So I think it makes sense that they start throwing the ball a little bit more, again, down James Conner and down Trey Benson at this point. So Marvin Harrison Jr., again, been a little bit rough out there. You know, he's had 3 drops, a couple of them led to interceptions. So certainly not, you know, devoid of blame in his own right. But we even did see in that second half, started making some nice contested catches, and certainly knows there is a really good football player there. So Kyler, you know, someone who's been a little bit up and down in his own right. But, yeah, I would say Marvin Harrison Jr. might be a guy that you can trade for as more of a wide receiver three, and I still think somewhere in there we have some wide receiver one upside.
Ian, we appreciate you making time for us, bro.
Ian.
Always great info.
Appreciate you guys. Good luck this week.
Yeah, man, dude, I need it.
Yeah. It's been tough. You might want to take you a break. Let somebody else run your team for me.
That's our friend Ian Harditz from Fantasy Life. Give him a follow at iHarditz, H-A-R-T-I-T-Z. We come back, you'll hear from Commanders D coordinator Joe Witt.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here. Every NFL Thursday is your chance to hit the jackpot on FanDuel. Because with FanDuel's Thursday Touchdown Jackpot, you can win a share of $2 million in bonus bets each week. To get in on this Thursday's action, all you have to do is place an anytime touchdown score bet before the game kicks off. And if your player scores the first or last touchdown of the game, you'll win. You'll win your bet plus a share of bonus bets. Just visit FanDuel.com/Brian to take a shot at the jackpot. That's FanDuel.com/Brian for your chance to win a share of $2 million in bonus bets. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. FanDuel is official sportsbook of 106.7 The Fan. You have to be 21 years old and present in Virginia. Opt-in required. Must supply Profit Boost token on select market. Prize pool to be split equally among all eligible participants who made the correct first or last touchdown pick. Bonus issued as a non-withdrawable bonus bet, which expires 21 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's some interesting news. Apparently, we're on in Richmond. Shout out to anybody in Richmond listening to us.
What up?
Love the RVA. Go get a BLT from Joe's Inn.
Yeah.
That's my advice. I miss going to Richmond for training camp, B. You miss it?
It's fine.
I think the ideal time for away training camp is like the first 2 weeks, whatever that ends up being. Maybe it's 2.5 weeks until the first preseason game.
That's basically about how long training camp is these days.
The problem with Richmond was they'd play the first preseason game and then go back down there and then have to come back for another preseason game. They should just cut it then and then be back at the facility once you're kind of in the game flow. I'd love to go back to Richmond or wherever they might go. So if
training camp ain't supposed to be comfortable, JP.
Yeah, I'm just talking about what I want, Brian.
But that's the thing about it. It's not about you. We're trying to get a team ready to play ball. You worry about you.
Yeah, I'm aware of what they're trying to do.
So how about when they...
You want them to go away, don't you?
How about you just don't go back when they go back?
Maybe. right now, we're not going anywhere, so it doesn't really matter.
I think this year you might.
We'll see. I thought that last year, but maybe this year because they'll have the stadium deal all locked up. Regardless, we're on in Richmond. Shout out to Richmond. Commanders defense coordinator Joe Witt spoke to the media earlier. Joe Witt's under a bunch of fire. A lot of fans are mad at him. Let me be clear, though. Joe Witt didn't miss a single tackle against the Falcons. Here is Commanders D coordinator Joe Witt.
As normal, I'll talk a little bit about the last game, a little bit about the first quarter of the season, and then get into the next game and then answer any questions that you have. You know, the first quarter, it hasn't been consistent. You know, we go out and play well against the Giants, then we don't play well against the Packers. I'm talking about defensively. Come out and run and hit and do what we need to do against the Raiders. And then we go down to Atlanta. And once again, so we can't have this ebbs and flows. We have to get into a rhythm of playing as one. And that's what I told the team, okay? And when I say playing as one, what do I mean by that? It's three different things, especially coming from the Atlanta game. The number one thing is the communication, okay, pre and post snap. We don't need anybody to put capes on. That's what happened a little bit in the Atlanta game, and I will explain that. And then the gang tackling as a unit, the turnbacks that we talked about that we had a number of them against the Raiders. We didn't have them in this game, and we missed tackles. And so when I talk about the communication and playing as one and no capes, let's talk about, like, the first third down of the game. You know, it's a look that we knew that was coming. Is actually the play that we worked. They ran the play that we worked. We call them looks to own. And so they ran the fast motion over, option away from three with a seven. And we had one guy that got a little greedy, and but it wasn't his play to make. He should have been on the vertical, and the vertical was open. And so we don't need anybody to put capes on, all right? That play was for Oos to make, and Oos was working to it, but it was wide open. So, you know, the communication and understanding, we don't have to put a cape on that. You just do your job. The gang tackling, all right? The one of the touchdowns by Bijan, okay? If you look at that play right there, we had one guy come in, and he shot at the ball, trying to knock the ball out. But our rule is you shoot at the ball when it's in the leverage arm that you're at, okay? And so then the second guy came in, and he shot at the ball. If you're the second guy in, you shoot at the ball when the tackle is secure. So the technique of both of those weren't there, and so it allowed maybe Bijan to keep running. It caused two missed tackles and a third as he went into the end zone. And so communication pre and post snap, and then, you know, we don't have to put capes on, just do our job. And so the negative plays and the open plays are putting a stain on the positive things that we have done on defense. But the main thing is to win, and we're not winning, and we're not we didn't win the last game, and we're not playing the brand of football that we want to play defensively. And so we have to get that taken care of, and we will. All right, go ahead.
Was that one play the one to Drake London? I'm sorry, to Pitts for the 26 yards? Is that one you're talking about? Because it looked like two guys go to
London.
Okay.
Yeah, so they were both trying to get where the ball was supposed to go, and he just looked up and saw the guy running open and hitting him. So
then as you talk about, like, some of the mistakes, as a coach, what do you do? Like, and why is that message maybe sometimes not getting through consistently to them?
Well, you know, the no capes is, you know, everybody's talking about turnovers, you know, trying to force it. So even though Marshawn's with the double move, all right, just leverage and don't get your eyes back to the quarterback. Leverage the route, all right, and play it through, all right. Turnovers, you know, I've had a history of getting a bunch of them in my past, and they don't come on good thrown balls. They come on poorly thrown balls. They come on running tips and overthrows and things such as that. You can't go out there and just necessarily force them to happen. You don't have to put a cape on, you know, but when you do have the opportunity, you know, we had one taken away from a penalty in the first game when Quan got one and got hit. Then we dropped one in the Raiders game with 2-3. So they're going to come. But if we try to force them and we try to go get them when we're not doing it the right way, we're going to give up explosives, and we can't do it that way.
With Frankie, he looked pretty impactful in the run game. So
Frankie played really well. He's the one guy that played well in this game.
Right. As a pass rusher, is there more you can do? Has the rush has not been as many? If so, why? And what can you do more?
His rush has not been as many?
The numbers, according to the numbers. I don't know. You would know better.
Yeah, the numbers are there. He's rushed more than any off-the-ball linebacker in the league. So
is there anything you can do? What more can you do to maybe help in that area? Or are they doing different things against him in that area?
They're doing different things against him, and that's why, you know, Bobby's getting the success that he's getting, and DA's getting some, you know, so they're, like I said, they're focusing more on him, and that's good. You know what I'm saying? His time's going to come. His sacks are going to come with when they start putting attention on other players. So, but he was the one guy in that game that ran and hit and played the way that all 11 should have played.
Through 4 weeks, it seems like the D-line's done a pretty good job of pressuring the quarterback, but not necessarily getting there every time. Is there any concern for you about, or is there a need to get more big plays and sacks in the passing game?
Well, we always want sacks. I think what we have 10 right now. I don't know where that puts us, you know. And so, but we are pressuring them, and we're putting a wave. You know, I thought not necessarily this game, but the game before, we had opportunities where we had a hand on the quarterback three different times, and he got away. I think we'll have to just finish those type plays. But to answer your question, I mean, it's just we have the guys to do it. We just have to complete the play and make sure that it's rushing coverage, that the back end is covering, so those guys can get to their second rush. Yeah.
Hey, Coach. Hey, Coach Quinn talked about fast starts, you know, on the road and everything. Just talking about defense, what are some key things that you can emphasize in getting off to a faster start on defense?
Oh, yeah, you know, getting off on third down. You know, that first third down would have been a huge play for us because, you know, we got them to the situation. We got them to the you know, that third and five we talked about. That's the play we talked about that we were going to get. And so now when you make that play and you get off the field and you get the ball to the offense and the first play is a three and out, that's the energy that creates throughout the stadium. But when you give up an explosive, now you're giving them energy to go. And so we can't allow them. We can't be good on first down, second down, and get the third down in that situation and know what's coming and allow explosive. And that's where we drain ourselves and give the other team energy.
And talking to some of the players, they said that they have to stay on their keys. What are some of the little things that are so important in moving this defense forward?
Well, and that goes back to, like I said, the pre and post snap communication and the no capes, okay? So I went back and I showed them the first four plays of the Giants game, okay? And, you know, you had Kinlaw's tackle, you had Payne coming out on the screen. Then the fourth play was they ran fast motion, and you saw Mikey communicating before the snap. You saw Will on the backside communicating and coming out. So pre-snap communication provides great post-snap play. And we didn't have enough of that here. It seemed like we were playing more as individuals than as a collective unit in the last game. And so we got to get back to playing like we did, communicating like we did. And when we do that, it provides better play for the whole defense.
Over here.
Yes.
I wanted to ask about the play where Bobby was, you know, trailing in coverage on Bijan, mm-hmm. kind of got caught up in a bunch or whatever,
yeah.
pick, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
What happened? What did you see on that play, and what do you wish would have gone differently?
Yeah, you know, as much as possible, you know, we try to keep our backers off of speed as much, and Bijan is considered speed on that right there, and so that's why we blitz them and we do the things that we do on that play. You know, it was a mesh concept, and we were trying to take the air out of it, and he got hung up on the two receivers that came inside, which created space and air. And once Bijan got it, he got it with enough speed to the sideline that we couldn't run it down. So, but you know, with him, we were trying to take air out of the coverage as much as possible, get to his body, so you don't have that much space that you have to get away from. But the two routes that got inside picked them from that standpoint. Yeah.
As a coordinator, when you pick up on something that you see that you don't like, whether it's a communication issue or you see guys trying to put capes on, like you said, what goes into trying to make that adjustment within the game and not have it be something that you have to wait until maybe the film day the next day?
Well, you know, within the game, we talk about it because first at halftime, you know, it was addressed at halftime of, you know, we just need to make sure that we're getting the looks that we want, but don't overtry. You know, play hard, but don't overtry. Don't do anything outside of your assignment from that standpoint there. And then, you know, when we get into the meeting room, when we talk about it, we have what we call Tell the Truth Monday. And so it works on a different levels. I'll talk about some of the calls and why I called them in certain areas, and then why did we make the mistakes? And I'll allow them to communicate to me, and I'll allow them to hear, you know, as coaches, all right, what we were exactly expecting and what we're exactly expecting moving forward. And so that's how we, you know, we'll rectify some of those issues.
Hey, how you doing, Coach?
Doing great. How about you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Yeah. You talked before about like just in the life of football, some people when things aren't going well can tend to kind of start to overwork and maybe put too much focus into trying to sort this and that out and make it almost too complicated. How do you make sure that you and your staff aren't doing that? And then also, how do you communicate to the players the need to not do that as well?
Yeah, you know, first thing, this is a fun game because it's hard. You know what I'm saying? And so, and we're in it because we like the challenge. And so that's the one thing that we really talk. You don't have to over try. You don't necessarily panic in any situation when you get in situations than when you're not playing it exactly like you want to play it. Now, what do? You go and you look at it. Has the approach been the right approach? What can you do differently? How can you change the learning? When you're not getting the results that you want, we're not going to just necessarily keep on doing the same thing. But we're going to look at every possible way of teaching the men, training the men, and then getting on the field and getting it done from that standpoint. But in this society and how things are now, and the guys, especially these guys that grew up in different than when we grew up, where they're in the social media and they read everything that everybody writes, it weighs on them. You know, when you're, you know, my age, 47, or when you didn't grow up in that environment, I don't look. So whatever people are saying about me, that's cool. I don't care because I don't see it, you know. But they really look at it and it weighs on them. And so then they start to try to over-try. So that's one thing Q and I have talked about. How do we, not just the defense, but these young men in general, how do you keep them, you know, grounded from the standpoint of blocking out the noise? Because good or bad is not real, you know. And so, and it's people that don't know the individuals or what's going on in some sport in spots. And so that's what we got to do is block out the noise and go play well. I've told players before, if you want people to say positive things, play positive. If I want to have people say positive things about me, I need to put a positive product out on the field. So hopefully that answers your question from that standpoint.
My question is actually pretty similar. You talk about players being too aggressive or, I guess, pressing in certain situations. Did you have a sense of why that was? Was it because they were behind? Was it outside perception? Is it different circumstances?
I'm not going to speak for the players. I think, you know, guys want to make plays, you know, and guys are just, trying to get the turnovers and trying to do this and that, where the turnovers are going to come, okay? The way that we've played the run, because we played it as a unit, I'm happy with that, okay? What I'm not happy with are the explosive passes. Right. If we can clean up those explosive passes without getting turnovers, we clean up the explosive passes, we're playing a solid brand of football. OK, now, if we clean up when we clean up the explosive passes and get the turnovers, now we're playing a dominant style. But right now we're playing a sloppy style because it's, you know, stop it on first down, stop it. And here goes an explosive. Right. Which just is not good. And we have to clean it up, and we will clean it up. I have full confidence in the staff and the players that it will get handled and it'll get started this week.
Cool. Appreciate you coming.
All right. Guys, y'all have a great one.
Joe Witt, not happy. Listen, I feel kind of good about myself, B. If I knew to dig up the explosive numbers and then Joe Witt says the explosives are what killing us.
Mm-hmm.
I think I was onto something.
Well, I mean, if you watch the game, you know the explosives are killing them.
Yeah, man.
but I like Joe's approach.
I love his straightforward, just the candor.
And the thing of it is, if these guys are, if they want to get better, they want to listen, they could turn this thing around rather quickly.
Agreed. Turnovers can be fluky. There's a lot of variance in generating turnovers, but stopping the explosives, they've been good against the run. Defensively against the run, they rank, I got it right here, they're 14th in the NFL in rush yards allowed. Phone lines open at 1 o'clock. Nobody go anywhere.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I have a degree in journalism. I consider myself a reporter. The hat I wear on the radio is a little bit differently. But the job, Brian, is to present the facts, mm-hmm. right? Just the facts. Earlier in the program, I said I hadn't physically seen Terry McLaurin since that Raiders game.
Uh-huh.
No longer a fact. Nikki Jabala posted a picture. Terry is out at practice today, working on the side field with other injured players, but he is out there. So we have now seen Terry since the Raiders game.
Uh-huh.
Physically seen him. That is one fact. Just reporting the facts.
All right.
Cool. Okay. I have another fact. Now, this is per sources. You and I are in Ashburn today.
Yep.
We are not in the Navy Yard studio.
Yep.
Therefore, I have to rely on my sources. Just the facts of what's going on back at the station. Chris Russell, as he's wont to do, is doing an interview in the middle of the hallway.
But Chris always does stuff like that.
You know, he has a studio with nobody in it.
Yeah, but, you know, he don't do anything normal.
Where do you and I go? Well, we do interviews.
We do our interviews on the air, really.
Well, or we go other places, right? Like you go do a Zoom in the other studio or where people aren't typically.
Yeah, but he wants to do it where everybody goes around, you know. That's when you show.
Do you think Rooster likes being the star of the show?
Yes.
Landfill, can you confirm that Chris Russell's doing an interview in the middle of the hallway?
Yep, right in the middle of the hallway where everybody likes to hang out. Chris Russell's in there just taking over the space. Let everybody know he's there.
Well, I'm glad you were able to confirm that. I suppose I've actually burned my source on this. I have outed you, Landfill, as my source of this information.
That's true.
So I apologize about that.
It's not the only information
No, you don't,
I gave
Landfill.
You.
He was trying to get you.
No. I have more information from the studio. Grant Paulson can't find his Caps jersey. Landfill, have you seen Grant's Caps jersey?
No. I mean, I remember seeing it like weeks ago, but it's gone missing. It's a mystery. It's a conundrum.
Did he leave it laying around in that studio? Because, dog, people would steal dirty
If he left it in the studio, that's something wrong with him.
It was on the wall.
Kit Kats.
It was on the wall?
Like hanging
like
up?
Like hanging on the wall?
Yes. I think it was hanging on a chair, actually.
It was in the frame?
No.
Not if it's on a chair.
Well, if it's just out there, I mean, just it's out.
Does it say Paulson on it? Like, is it a personalized one like B has?
No, it says Malenstein.
If you left it there, that's the problem.
Dog, how many Beck Malenstein jerseys exist on the planet? I feel like he could just...
one less now.
Well, if he just sees somebody wearing one, that's his jersey, because nobody else has ordered a Beck Malenstein jersey.
It's a real whodunit.
Lastly, and this ties directly into the B. Mitchell Finley AAA poll question of the day. The AAA poll question of the day, how do you feel about people who replied all to company emails? Now, AAA wants to make sure you are leveling up. You can level up with the new AAA Commanders MVP membership. Get all the benefits of AAA, plus exclusive experiences, discounts, and tickets. If you're already a AAA member, upgrade for free or join today at AAA.com/commanders. Now, there is one incredibly famous person on this program that perhaps has a reply all guy, but we're not talking about him.
I reply all the time. I reply all when I think that if replying all will let everybody know what the answer is so nobody else replies to me.
Brian, I
have a reason for it.
I didn't mention you whatsoever.
I know. You said on this program.
I said the famous guy.
and then
per sources,
and the other guy is the bald head guy that works in our studio with us.
Per sources, Jeff Walker won't stop replying all to company emails. Jeff,
you know what B. Mitchell has been doing lately? Not reading them. It's just where you don't see anything.
B, there's not many things that I've beaten you to the punch on, but I definitely don't read them.
You came here and told me about stuff today, so you're reading it before I do.
That came to my Gmail. Landfill, can you get us up to date on exactly what's going on there?
Yeah, so Wendy is the promotions coordinator here, and sometimes she has tickets to various sporting events or concerts around the area. And she'll send out like an email to everybody who works here to see if anybody wants them. And one thing she always includes in there is, please don't reply all. So she sent one out, 20 minutes ago. And about 30 seconds after we got the email, we got another email. Everybody at the station, everybody who works here, got another email from Jeff Walker saying that he wanted the tickets. And
Jeff said, let me get them.
Let me get them.
And then about 35 seconds after that, we got another email from Jeff Walker saying, oh, my bad, I didn't mean to reply all.
Landville, I have
but then he replied all, though.
That's true.
He replied all to say sorry.
He replied all to say sorry to all.
I have a series of questions. One, is this Kevin Gates' The Two Phones song?
Yes.
I love that song, so therefore I love Kevin Gates. Two, did you get the tickets, Jeff?
Yes, and this is my first time.
Can your car make it to Baltimore, Jeff?
Yes, I've worked on it.
Okay.
Great. Might not get back, but he'll be there. He may not get back to D.C. where he lives, but he can get there.
All right, so Jeff's going to Baltimore tonight to see Kevin Gates. I just want to read Wendy's email. It says, good evening. I have a few tickets for Kevin Gates tonight at Pier 6 in Baltimore. First come, first serve. Do not reply all. Thank you. Jeff promptly replied all twice.
Yeah. Now, in my defense, on my iPhone, when I hit reply, I fat fingered it and accidentally hit it's reply and then it's reply all. So I must
losing have all that weight, but them fingers still fat.
Yeah, man. It's my first time and definitely my last time replying all on accident because I got.
So you did it on accident both times?
No, I did it on accident the first time. I did it on purpose the second time because I wasn't about to walk around and be like, my bad.
All right. So now I have a question for Landfill. In the thread, it's just the entire Washington team. So
yeah,
that's
everyone.
Sales, engineers, everybody. I just looked at this. There's 175 members of the Washington team that Jeff has now emailed twice. Landfill, should I reply all to Jeff to say, Jeff, stop replying all?
Without question.
No. If you do it, I'm going to respond all again.
Okay.
Well, that just made me say, as soon as I see
bang.
It, erase.
I just replied erase. To everybody, Jeff, stop replying all. That might be the first email I've ever sent from my Odyssey account.
Oh, y'all doing this on the Odyssey account? Yeah. Oh, I won't see that. Ain't no damn way I'm going to see that one today.
Phone lines open next. It's Bleep You Thursday, 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Whoever has wronged you, if you work at Odyssey and you're mad at Jeff for replying all twice, call us. Whatever it is out there, maybe you're mad at the Commanders, maybe you're mad at the Chargers, maybe you're mad at the universe, this is your chance.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.